for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, December the 30th, 2009. Richard Tate is the speaker of the morning, teaching on In Transition.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. Hallelujah. Y'all on the internet, wherever you are, you're with us and we're with you. We are one in Christ. Gee, after that worship, I just don't know if I want to go the way I was going. We'll see. Lord, just help us this morning. Help me, Jesus, to try to stay somewhere within some kind of context, if it's your will. If it isn't, just scatter me. Let's go. We just bless you and we praise you. We receive what you give us. I'm not saying to eat the meat and throw out the bone. We don't go for no bones. We only want meat. No bones. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures that I didn't even have in there, but I was looking at something else and they just seemed to astound me. John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, Jesus speaking, said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comfort." This is King James, folks. If that bothers you, get used to it, because that's the one I got today. You know, I like this one because I grew up on it, so I can quote it and I can remember something. And when I go to get in a concordance with the NIV or the New King James, I can't figure out what I'm looking for. So I always come back and say, you're reliable. You don't change. You know, when I was early in church, Pentecostal Assemblies of God, back in the days when they didn't wear lipstick, and they didn't wear lipstick anyway. You know, when you think about it, I'm wondering how those people ever got through theologically. How they ever got through. Because I asked my pastor, I was his Timothy. We were bonded. I didn't have a job and I traveled with him everywhere. He went to pray for me, I went. He did every barbershop, I went. We were just together all the time. And I asked him, what kind of a Bible should I get? You know? And he said, well, you know, I got the Thompson chain. And he says, my wife has a Schofield, New Schofield reference. And I said, well, which one should I get? He said, well, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. I tell you, I got the Thompson chain. And when I got into Schofield one time and got to looking in 1 Peter chapter 2, I couldn't believe I was reading what I was reading. When I was reading his commentary on all this stuff in the sweet by and by. You don't get nothing now. It's all later. I thought, how did they ever get through? You could have any kind of Bible and it was fine as long as it said B-I-B-L-E on top of it. Fortunately, you didn't have all these really new translations that aren't, whatever, they're not even paraphrases, some of them. You know, they're really just commentaries. I said, how did they do it? Well, things were a lot simpler. They had a few doctrines, but not as many as they have now, where everywhere you go, you can get, you know, you go to one town and get 10 different, you know, kinds of pie in one town. And I'm not talking about Methodist and Presbyterian. I'm talking about Pentecostal Charismatic. Yeah. My goodness, we got so many flavors. Uh-huh. It's just unbelievable. And everybody says, we're right, we're the flavor, and the rest of them are not. But the Lord says, I will send you the Holy Spirit. I'll send you another comforter, verse 16. I'll pray to the Father who shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. What a way to live. Don't know him, that's bad. Can't even see him. What kind of a chance do you have? You know, I've shared with you about my brother. You know, he John 3:16 baffles him. He cannot understand it. I'm saying, how can you not? It's English. I mean, you know, you have this genius IQ. You have this computer program that you wrote yourself. You have this business. And you can't understand John 3:16. No, I can't. Just too hard. I said, you can't see it. No matter how you look, I don't know what it looks like to him, but it sure doesn't look like English. It may look like Greek to him. Whatever it is, it doesn't work. And unless God opens the eyes, it doesn't work. And we sit here moaning and groaning half the time about our situation, our problems, our troubles, and we see, and we know, and we complain. And there's a world out there that doesn't see, doesn't know, doesn't have a hope without the gospel coming to them, and we're complaining. Lord, help us, Jesus. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, because it seeth him not, neither does it know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will come to you. You don't have to worry. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. John 16:13-15, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, God is love. But of all the attributes that I see, all the things that I see in God, which are pretty limited, but anyway, what I do see, the one thing that stands out to me about God in this triune Godhead that we have is this continually bowing to one another. Hebrews, the Father lifts up the Son. Revelation, the Father, the Son says, everything under me, and then I'm going to turn it all over to the Father that He may be all in all. The Holy Spirit magnifying them both. They're continuously bowing to each other. And we seem to be continuously getting our feet up higher, about 2 inches higher than you, you know. We're continuously lifting ourselves up, but they're continuously bowing. I'm wondering sometime what spirit we're of. It gets scary. Especially when there's something in your heart that wants God. And you keep finding yourself doing this other stuff. And I'm not talking about robbing banks. I'm just talking about stuff that you know isn't right with God. And it don't have to be bad stuff. Listen, that apple was not a sin. See? What was wrong with having a little bite off the tree? It wasn't killing nobody. But see, it was disobedience. Not a yieldedness. Wanting something more than what God was giving. Not what God had, but what He was giving. See, we want our prayer, and we want it now, and we want an answer now, and the way I want it, and let's do it. And when it doesn't happen, we get mad and rebel. We do. We get hostile. We must, you know, because that's how we act. We get cold. I remember, I've shared this before, my old pastor's had a bumper sticker. It's old beat-up Dodge. I mean, it was beat. It was poor. There's nothing around here that looks like that. But on the back, he said, feel far from God? Who left? Or who moved? And I thought, they must look at him and says, well, who'd want to be in your shape? But one thing about it, he was close to God. And he wasn't worried about physical appearances at all. He was concerned with his relationship to God. He was a barber and had a barber shop, and they used to go bankrupt. And when somebody called, he was gone. I mean, you could be in the chair. I'll be back. Because that was just something that supplied the need so they could pay the rent. But his ministry was under God. And when somebody called with a need, he was gone. Precious spirit. His wife was a little bit of a Jezebel. Quite a bit of a Jezebel. I mean, really. She really was. She really was. And he would just see how he was so precious. And she used to get so jealous of him because all these people were just drawn to him. I mean, you just loved that man. You could be with him. You would never get offended. Even if he told you the truth, which he would on occasion, he wouldn't offend you with it. You could tell that he told you because he loved you. And she didn't like that because everybody just, Ernie. And she always wanted to be Connie. That's the way she wanted it. It's precious. Last night was so beautiful. Did I read that? 15? I don't think so. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit's truth, come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatever he shall hear, that he will speak. And he will show you things to come. Last night was so beautiful. And I'm not saying the rest of them weren't, because we've really had a balance, you know, of the Word of God here this week. I mean, from all different directions. You know, it's like you're hearing on one, like Glenn really, he really set it in focus. Terror and glory. Tomorrow. Trouble and glory. I think one of the big problems that we have is we get in one camp or the other. We're in the glory camp. Bring it on, devil. I'm ready for you. Or we're in the, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know? We have a hard time finding that balance. We either hone in to one side or the other side. God's saying, no, no. It's going to be trouble. Jesus promised you all these things with persecutions. But man, He promised glory. See, and we can't envision that. We can't envision what that would be like. We've had some episodes where people got saved and people got healed and whoa, glory. But we can't envision the glory He's going to bring because He's going to show the glory of Himself to the world. No one's going to be without excuse. No one tripped and fell into hell. I'll tell you that. It's full of people who chose to go there. So I really appreciated what Howard Pittman was saying the last couple of nights. And I like the cotton candy churches. That's what I call them. And I wrote down some things that I thought about it. One of them was they have a steady diet of the cotton candy gospel. You know, that's the one where it melts in your mouth. You can absorb it very quickly. It's sweet. It's all sugar. You know that? And you don't have to worry about anything. You're fine. There's one that kind of bothers me, and it's one that I don't think I've used it here, but it's called the candy apple diet. And the apple kind of represents knowledge. And I want you to hear me. Don't push me out of here and tell me to get out before I get done. Please, listen to the last one. So you'll know what I'm saying. Apple speaks to us of knowledge. That's what's on that tree. Knowledge without God. Actually, you know, it was God's knowledge. But it was without God. Without God imparting. Isn't that one of the things that they didn't like, you know, in the garden? They were confined to what God revealed of Himself. They didn't have a lot of rules, but they didn't really want any rules. They didn't need rules. And we're kind of the same way, you know. And what's funny is when we become born-again believers, it doesn't change. We don't all want to say, hallelujah, give me some rules. On the other hand, there are people who say, just give me the rules and leave this relationship out. I'm not really interested in all that stuff where we get involved, you know, and you kind of hit me. Just give me some rules and I'll do them. Isn't what we do in church many times, tell Moses, the pastor, go up there and get that stuff and come back down and feed me. I'll be here next Sunday. Be sure you get me enough so I don't have to come back till next week. I don't want to do that Wednesday night stuff. You know? Once a week's fine for me, get me through. All I care about is me. The problem with that candy apple stuff has got that red stuff around it. I don't know if you have it anymore. We have your kids. Sticky stuff. You bit in there, no matter how you bit, you got the apple, but you got that stuff in your teeth. Man, it was hard to get out. It just stuck. I mean, like glue in your teeth. And what I read about that was the absorption rate is much slower with candy apples. But it's just as deadly. Because in the end, it's all sugar. It all isn't what God's trying to give us. There's no balance there whatsoever. It says the hook is still there. In cotton candy, you get easy believism. And you can have it all with no cost. It's free. Everything's free. I read some of those books. Well, actually, I don't read very far in them. I can't believe one of the books, some of the most famous books that are out there, I can't even believe they could sell it with a title. When you talk about, I'll just give the one word, driven, I'm saying, where? How does that compute? You know, Jesus said, let me drive you a little bit, you know. Golly. But I'm saying, you know, it became huge, huge. Because in the end, it was all about me. And we were saying it's all about God, but I mean, the whole thing was all about me. He leads us. Gently. Says with a candy apple, you can, now, stay with me, folks, please. Now, if you go to sleep, that's all right. I'm a firm believer now. I'm no problem with that. I had a lady, Mara's closest friend, used to sit in the second row, and she'd dead go to sleep on me. I mean, and for a while, I had problems because the devil was saying, see, look at your mess. Look what you're doing to that woman. You didn't put her to sleep. Can you imagine the rest of them out there are just tolerating you and just waiting until you're done, get out of there so we can have lunch? And I finally said, you know what? They don't need lunch. They don't need no more food. We're just going to stay here till I feel at peace, and then I'm going to quit. And the Lord showed me something one time. He said, doesn't make any difference if they're awake or asleep. Their ears are open. They get it. They may not be wanting it, but they get it. And one day down the road, I'll reach in there and turn that little crank and pop, it'll pop it, and they won't even know where it come from. But it'll be there. I've told you before, I really feel an apathy towards people who have no religious background at all. Because it's just hard to get a hook in there and get anything you can reference them to. They're happy for you, but they don't have a clue what you're talking about. Not only that, they're not interested. Because in their family, it never existed, and their family was fine. They lived and died like everybody else. It's a big deal. Glad you found God. Anyway, with the candy apples, you can have it all through biblical knowledge. It takes a lot of work, but it doesn't really require any faith. If it did, we'd be turning out men of God out of these seminaries instead of what we're turning out. I mean, more men of God have lost their faith with higher Christian education than I want to count. I don't know how, you know, to hear some of the testimonies of some people, what Bible college did to them. It's just amazing. Because you need the Spirit of God to lead you, to open things up, to entice you with a little word, to pique your interest just a little bit so you say, well, I want to find out what that word means. And then once you get in there, it goes here and it goes there and it goes all around. And you come back and you, without even knowing it, you know some stuff you never knew. My third concern is getting the gold. Brother Pittman was talking about getting gold, nuggets, digging for them. He had a beautiful exposition of the process last night. Tremendous. You know, I mean, he showed you the three parts. I got to get the tape, you know. And I said, now I got to be careful with the tape, and I'm going to show you why I got to be careful with it. It's like birth. It has three components. He said, getting gold really does have three components. It has the digging part. You got to go out there and dig for it. And then you have, if you really get it, what good is it? You know, you got to refine it. You got to get all the impurities out of it. All the stuff that sticks onto it, that belongs to you, it sticks on there, and it isn't really the pure, pure, pure stuff. But there's dirt and there's all kinds of and little things in there, and get it out of there and refine it. And then, so a little purifying, you know, and your purifying process, when you get this gold nugget, your purifying process is to compare it Scripture with Scripture. Go in there and look at them all. Look at it, put it together, see if it fits without having to cut any edges off or any hammering on the corners to get it in there, you know. I mean, that's an easy thing, you know. It's got to fit in here, you know, because I kind of had a preconceived idea before I got here. And it's got to line up, because I know my idea is right. It's got to line up in here, so bam, 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 bam. Then you get on the other side, and the other thing don't fit. Now you're hammering over it. Man, it's hard work making that stuff fit. And what's really bad is you don't just make it fit. You got to show everybody in town the puzzle. This is what it really looks like. This is the picture. This is a real picture. And some of them are going to look at you and say, you're nuts. And some of them are going to say, wow. Man, is that revival. Wow, that's new truth. Yes, it is. It's different, that's for sure. But it looks pretty good. Most of the picture fits together. It's like one time we were in a church and, having a meeting. And they just got a new pastor. That's what it was. Big church. And he was speaking. And while he was speaking, the Lord showed my wife this loaf of bread and it had a worm in it. And the Lord spoke to her, says, the bread he's serving has a worm in it. But when she told me, I said, well, I ain't going no more. I don't eat no worms. And I just don't know if I'm smart enough to eat around them worms. So I'd just rather stay away from any kind of bread that may have a worm in it. You know, a lot of people say, well, you eat around it and you get to... I've had so many people tell me, oh, well, there was some good stuff in it. I said, what about this stuff? Well, yeah, that was bad, but there was some good stuff in it. I said, you know, Balaam wasn't a false prophet. He was a prophet of God. But he had some bad stuff going for him. Huh? A little few dollars. He wasn't against making a buck or two. Have to be careful. I told you about the book, you know, User-Friendly Prophecy. I thought, how does that work? Well, we're right sometimes and sometimes we aren't, brother. I mean, I said, I don't think that worked in the Old Testament. I think you only got, they didn't have three strikes out, they had one strike and you're out. One strike and it's all over. Unless you're a false prophet, then you can really have a good time. But if you're claiming to be from God, and you make a mistake, which isn't a mistake, you're in trouble. And he says in one place, even if you hear it and it comes to pass, which would just wipe out about 90% of the church today, because if it comes to pass, you know it's God. Even if you hear it and it comes to pass, and it causes you to move away from the God you're serving, it ain't for me. I said, how does that work? We don't get that critical. I mean, we're looking, if it works, wow, this has got to be God. The enemy can do a lot of things. He knows that we're so open to deception. So open. In the end, you've got to have something that produces the product. The actual product that's seen. So you have three different things, like he said last night. You know, you have the conception, you got the, process, something in the middle, and then the product in the end. Anyway, you had the three things there, and they are three. And lots of times, it takes more than one person, one thing for you to be able to get all three. We need each other. You know, we have parts. We don't have it all. It was precious last night, you know, how he was able to give all that so clear, so precise, and just open it up and show you the whole thing. I thought, wow, amazing, but scary. You know what scared me? Scared me. Now, I probably wouldn't scare you, but it scared me half to death. That I could buy that tape and get all that knowledge without ever getting my fingernails dirty. Without ever digging for that gold. Without ever putting in a lick of work. I could get all that knowledge. And think that I got what he got. That's scary. All those books over there, from one end to the other, all got nuggets. That's what they're full of, nuggets. Somebody dug for those nuggets. We buy the book and hallelujah, I got the nuggets. I don't know how that works. Because I've never seen God work that way. He said, you want them, you dig for them. And I'm not saying don't read them. I said, they're great. And pray, Lord, open something up. Give me something inside that excites me and moves me on. But don't let me think that because I read the book, I got what the guy that got it got. Because I didn't. Because when the testing comes, and it will surely come, I'm going to be sore hurting. Because he's going to be able to go through, because he knows how to dig for gold. And I get up there and I say, well, there's gold down there, some food down here. How are you going to get it? I won't have a clue. What the book say? I don't have no tools. I'm in bad shape. I guess I die. I remember on the Colorado River, there was a mountain man years and years ago. I wish I could read the book again. His family was, they had this thing when he grew up. It's before World War I, I think. Or World War II. And every member of their family, the men, had to go out and live 1 year on their own out in the wilderness. That's what they had to do. That's how you became a man. Okay, did that. The war came. He went to college and went in. First he went out to Colorado, was living out there. He decided he liked to live out there on the river. Then the war came. He'd been to college. He went in and was an engineer, in the Army Engineers. When it was over, he got back out and went back out in the wilderness, and that's where he stayed until he died. Now, they always ask him why he never got married. He said, well, the right woman never came by. Well, the only way he could come by where he was at was by a boat. Because there was no way in there. And what he did, it's amazing. He was a pretty smart guy. What he did, he made custom guns. Made the barrels, made the whole thing. And they were very expensive for those days. And that's how he got his little things. But he didn't leave. He loved that. And yet he told of a time where three men had been out there and they left him going out and they got stuck somewhere and they died. They starved to death, literally. Now, he didn't know that they hadn't gotten out, but he found out later that they hadn't. And he said, it's amazing, they starved in the middle of a garden. They just didn't recognize what was eatable. He said, there's all this stuff there they could have had, a virtual garden. But they died for lack of knowledge. They didn't know. Now, our knowledge comes from God. I know in the mornings, I have my prayer and I was going to do some reading. I have my set things that I read, but then I'll say, Lord, what should I read? What today? What should I read? And He'll give me something, maybe a chapter, maybe a chapter. If you give me a chapter and verse, I go right there. Gives me a chapter, I just go there. Give me a book, I start at the beginning. I'm limited to my knowledge. And I just read it like I'm reading any book. Because I know it's only as He enlightens me that I'm going to really know anything. It's only as He opens it up. It's only as He gives me a little light that I'm going to really know what He wants me to have. And He does that. You know, He's so good at meeting us in our limited abilities. He doesn't wait for us to get real smart before He can talk to us, before he wants to share with us. He's just like, give me an inch and I'm going to just pile this stuff on top of you. I'm not saying God doesn't speak through books or messages. I'm not saying that at all. You know? But I'm telling you, you can give a message to 100 people and 4 people got something. You know, I mean, He speaks a word. That's why I'm so happy. Somebody come and tell me they got a word. I say, hallelujah! Man, I feel like I was fulfilled because God actually spoke to somebody. He actually did use me and He spoke to somebody. Hallelujah! He's usually speaking to me, but it's not the kind of stuff I can get up and jump up and down about. I'm not getting that kind of stuff when I'm behind her. Usually, boom, boom, boom. Did you hear what you just read? No? Did I really read that? What we saw last night was Howard was showing it. He dug it, refined it, fashioned it, and showed us the finished product. Just beautiful how he could do that in that short of time. Could show us his complete picture. And you could get it. You could really see it. You know, it wasn't like, oh man, there's 2 pieces missing here and I'm stuck here and I can't get across here to get to it. You could see the whole thing. Just wonderful. Just wonderful. That's what he was encouraging us to do though. Dig that way. I have no doubt that he was led by the Holy Spirit in his digging. I don't think he was just digging. Just say, wow, let me get in there and dig. You know, you wait upon God, He'll lead you. He'll open things to you. He'll teach you. He'll give you things as you go. The way with clean nails, I call candy apple growth. You're growing in your head, but it's not doing anything here. And with what's coming in our days ahead, we got to have it here. This stuff is not going to work. You know, we had some friends that said, you know, that if the tribulation come down the mark of the beast, they'd have to take it because it could not be God's will for their children to starve. Pentecostal, Spirit-filled people. People who consider themselves fairly spiritual and are thought of in their community as being fairly spiritual. But that was their concept. God couldn't want us to have our children starve, so we'd have to take the mark to feed our children. I thought, where are we getting this stuff from? You know, we don't want to pay a price for anything. We literally say we do, and as soon as it comes up, I'm not paying. I want it for free. It's not just, you know, it's not just this generation either. It's us. As bad as this generation is and want it now, instantly, I don't think we're much different. So much for that. I hope you understand what I was saying. I'm not saying no Bible study, no reading. I'm not saying it. I'm saying, let Him lead you, you know. God, open this up to me. And help me not to try to open it up for myself or try to make it mean something. Because we just come with preconceived ideas. I mean, we do. It's difficult to lay them down and say, I'm just laying down my ideas and cleaning myself out, and you just give me what you want and I'll go any way you want. Because He's not going to go the way you were going. Now, I'm going this way. Yeah, but can we kind of wiggle it anyway? Do something with it to satisfy me because I already have some thoughts here. I've got thoughts that I wouldn't even share with you. I'm sharing with my wife. I mean, my goodness. But I mean, I've got some. I said, well, you know one thing? They're not in stone and the world isn't going to come or go on based on those things, so I just keep them to myself. You know? Hallelujah. Better keep them to myself. I've got a message I want to preach. I better keep that to myself the way I'm going here. So much for that. Let's talk a little bit about getting gold in your own personal life. It's a different program. Believe me. That getting those nuggets, I remember a brother came to this country one time. You'd know him if I mentioned his name. And he came through and he had a lot of meetings and he had a lot of people who liked him and a lot of people didn't like him. I thought, well, that sounds pretty good. Because everybody's speaking well of you. You probably got problems. You know, there's something's going on here. Maybe you're on the driven life or you got something going on here because you're just being too nice to everybody. Nobody can offend you and you can't offend anybody. I said, there's something wrong there. But when he left and then he came back and we had a time with him and asked him, said, well, what do you think? What was going on that first time? Man, you had a lot of trouble. He said, yeah, I was just burying nuggets. Says the Lord showed me I was just burying nuggets and go on and not feel responsible, bury them and go on. There'll be people who come by later and dig them up. There'll be people who dig them up. And I thought, my, my, my. What a way to do that. Not worry about what's going to happen. Just do what God puts in your hand. Not worry about the results. Not worry about looking in the paper, see if anything happened next week. Just do it and go on. Let Him lead you. Just let Him have His way with your life. Now, when you're looking for gold in your personal life, you're not talking about gold mining. That's a different ballgame altogether. Gold mining takes a lot of time. Did you ever see the Treasure of Sierra Madre? The old movies? Humphrey Bogart and Tim Holt. That was a movie and a half. I mean, really, it really showed you how men can get a little greedy over their money, over their gold. But it takes time to dig that gold out. You know, Brother Pittman didn't get that overnight. I don't think he got it over some months. I think it took a long time to get all this stuff. Man, that's a lot of information he had. A lot of digging to get those pieces. You need a good calculator. But in our situation, in your daily life, you got a pan for it. It's amazing. When you're panning for gold, which you could make a pretty good living these days. I mean, if you get in the right places. I mean, almost $1,000 an ounce. You can do pretty good, but you don't get a lot of large nuggets. You don't hit a vein, that's for sure. You know, you're getting shavings, slivers. You know, and the thing is, you can't be panning on the great river of God. You can't be panning there. You never do nothing. You got to get down and have some sand and. You got fast running water and all that stuff comes down and you get in these little pools and you do this. And it's a lot of work. It's daily work. Every day you're hoping to find something. See, when you're digging for gold, you're going to hope to find something eventually. I know there's gold down there somewhere. I'm going to get it someday, you know. But when you're panning, you're trying to live. You're trying to make a living right now. You need something for food. You need to be able to buy a few little groceries. You have to get back up the stream closer to its source. Closer to where it started. Closer to where it came from. You might say, you really need to get back to your first love. Back to where you had that simplicity in Christ. To where things weren't so complicated. To where things weren't so piled up. And, you know, and life was pushing you 9 different directions. You're trying to figure out how in the world am I going to make it through the day. Isn't that funny when you first got saved how simple it was? Just love Jesus. Jesus loves me. Tell the people, and some of them like it. Some of them, who cares? You know, I'm telling you, this is what happened to me. Simple. And then he got in a church and got complicated. Anyway, and you find a place that's close, you know, way up high in the mountains, and it's cool water and it's fresh. You can drink it. You know, you can drink that water. You don't have to worry about what happened with the dam down the hall, because the dam is way down below you. You're up there where it's fresh. And you pan. And you pan it out, like they say. It'll all pan out. That's what that comes from. From gold, you know, from panning for gold. Pan it out eventually. And you see the little slivers, teeny. Well, those guys used to have them bags full of gold. What? Dust? Was it dust they called it? Little teeny, teeny. You know, I had a friend that had a gold machine. He retired. He lived in Porterville, California. Had a gold machine. He said, this thing's going to work and I'm going to get rich. I never heard about him getting rich, but he had it and he had all his property and he had this thing and he had a sluice on and he had this gold machine. The problem was it only would get nuggets, you know, it wouldn't get small little nuggets. It'd only go down to a certain size was all you'd be able to get from it. I never knew if it ever worked or not, but I mean, he had a concept anyway. And he had a machine. He really had a machine. But see, you'll never get the kind of stuff you pan for with a gold machine. Fix a pan. It takes real personal, close-handed work. Daily working. Trying to get a few little slivers. Just panning to see if you can get maybe something little. A little. What's nice about it, no matter how little it is, it's gold. Huh? Ain't fool's gold. It's gold. It's the real stuff. Just a little word. You know? Just a little word. Just a sliver of gold. But it's a real deal. You can build your life on those little bitty fine shavings of gold. Eventually you get to where you get enough. You can take it in, have them refine it, and get it purified, completely purified. You can have something made out of it. You know, it's amazing how that takes place. You know, get them nuggets, get those little things, and they refine it and everything. And then somebody comes and they make that thing into what they want it to be. One time the Lord showed me something a long time ago. I've shared it before. I was just minding my own business praying, and I saw this mantle, like a fireplace mantle. That's the only kind of mantle we knew about, so I don't know about them other ones. We knew about those kind. There was a fireplace under them, that's for sure. And on this mantle was in space, like in outer space somewhere. In space. Big mantle. And it had all these little beautiful figurines on it. Beautiful! I mean, they were gorgeous. And God spoke and He said, "These are my peculiar treasures." I thought, wow! And I'm wondering, why are you showing me this? You know, that's always coming, why are you showing me? And then all at once, I saw the Holy Spirit. He took a piece of wood and He went like this with a knife. And I felt this cut in my shoulder come clear down through here. And then I knew that those figurines were made by the hand of God. They didn't just appear one day. They all started out as blocks of wood. Nothings. Nothings. And the Holy Spirit began to cut on them and carve and build. And in the end, God displayed them before the universe. Before whatever's out there, whatever is out there, and there is something out there, He displayed it before the universe because everything is alive unto God. Brother, well, what did they say? If they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Everything's alive unto God. And He displayed him, and I thought, my, what a thing He's offering to His people. And He's not saying, you've got to have a college degree or be a high and mighty, just be a willing vessel. Like He told me before, just be a pipe. You're a pretty rusty pipe. You're pretty rusty in there. Ain't much room for the water to come through. But He said, you know, if you just allow me to let my water begin to run through you, you know, my water will clean you out. Don't expect to be clean by tomorrow morning. And don't worry when people get upset, because that water coming out is going to be pretty brown for quite a while. So don't be expecting that pure water coming out. Oh, hallelujah. You get that? You know, they say, get what, man? You're out of line. It's not going to be that way. You're going to be a mixture. But He said, if you let me, I will purify your pipe. You're going to be a pipe for me. You ain't going to be nothing else. Don't expect to be a fancy vase. You know, you're going to be a pipe. Because I'm not interested in what you look like. I'm interested in pouring out my glory and my Son through you to these people that are waiting for this water. They're thirsty. And a lot of them are drinking water that's contaminated because they're so thirsty. And I want to give them water. Like Brother Carl said, you know, and I shared it the other day. You didn't hear that. Anyway, if you called, huh? How do you know you called? Because you went. Called, how do you know if you told you? Because you went. It's a sense, you know, if you didn't go, you weren't called. And if you didn't go, you weren't chosen either. And in the last part of that verse in Revelation says, and they were faithful. And that was the key to it. And whatever happened, they were faithful. Now they didn't come out there and run on their own. I mean, you say, I'm going to go out and save the world. But I mean, when they had an opening and leading, you know, even though it's going to cost them something like their home, their job and everything, they went. You know, one step at a time. You know, we want to go, you know, go over there and preach a message and the whole country gets saved. One step at a time. And if it slowed down, they slowed it down. I love these brothers who go bankrupt. I do. I love ministry when they go bankrupt. You know what it means? It's over for that thing. Let's do something else. The ones that are setting their bomb from the bank, bomb from everybody, trying to keep this thing afloat, to God said, I'm done with it. I'm going to do something else. Well, no, we're ministering. Who cares? You know, I'm going to do something else. You've got to be able to shut it down. If you're going to live by faith, then you've got to live by faith. Well, I live by faith, but the ministry lives by whatever we can get. I said, you know, He's going to pull us into a tighter place. There's going to be a lot of cheap rented churches for rent shortly. I'm telling you, I'm just waiting until they knock off that income tax thing. That's going to be a blow to the church. What do you mean I don't get a deduction? I ain't putting my money in there. Gee, and that's nothing. What's going to happen when we get, I shouldn't even say, hyperinflation? You better read the history of Argentina. You know, they had it. You know how they learned, though, how you can live prosperously with Hyperinflation. You know what they did? Does anybody know? They borrowed on their salary in advance and bought all the stuff that they could merchandise and sell. And then as they went along, they sold it. As it increased and became more valuable, less money, they would sell it. Then when they got down there, they'd borrow on their next salary. So they were always keeping up. I thought, that's weird. They said, it's the only way you can live in hyperinflation. You've got to be able to get ahead of the thing, get merchandise that you can sell as you go along. And then you, as it goes, it's inflated, but the money you got back here is worth more up here. So otherwise, you can't do it. You can't do it. God says, I'll provide for you. One day at a time. One meal at a time. One meal at a time. In closing, I just want to mention something here before everybody goes to sleep. It's a lot like the salmon. You know, they start out born way, way up in the mountains in fresh water. That's a really strange story. Fresh water. And then they make their way down and they go to the sea and they're out in this environment that is so different from what they used to, salt water. How they can even survive it. And I always think about this way. You're saved, you're doing so good, and then you get in the church. And you got this environment. Everybody's backbiting, killing each other and telling you to love everybody, and you can see nobody loves anybody. But Donald will tell you, you know, you look at this and I wouldn't want to be one part of this thing. It's chaotic. And you're there. You know, but I'll tell you, later on down the line, you start to get along and you go back home. And that's what they do. 3 to 5 years, they start making their trek back up to where they come from. And when they get there, they produce, listen, they produce and die. They lay their eggs and then they die. Oh man, that's great. I mean, that's good. They don't die then produce, they lay their eggs first. A lot of them don't make it because there's predators on the way. A lot of them don't make it because in the pools you had just before the rapids and these falls that they have to go over, they're so driven to get there, you know, to get back to where they were birthed, that they don't rest long enough to gain their strength. And what happens is they get caught going up, can't make it down, keep going up, don't make it down. Or they get up there and they have what's called eddies. I don't know if you know what eddies. They're little things that go off the sides. No current in there. You get off, you can really rest in there. The problem is, things dead in there. You get in there and you can die in there. A lot of them. You never gain any strength. There's no nutrients. There's nothing in there that's going to help you at all, except there's no pressure. If that says anything to anybody. Because there's going to be pressure all the way. Because the longing is to get back to our first love, no matter where we are. We're never feeling like we're there. We come out of the presence, run into three problems, and one of them gets us, and right away, I wish I was back there. I wish I was back there where I had such peace, to where it didn't matter what anybody thought about me. It didn't matter if they liked my message. It just didn't matter. Not that I didn't care, but I mean, it was me and God that had the connection. And it was up to Him to work out that horizontal stuff, not me. Our problem is we're trying to work out the horizontal and hoping it's going to make the vertical right. And it ain't. It's got to be this way. And then let Him work it out. And if you've got problems, it don't work out, don't worry about it. We learned that. We lived that for many, many years. My wife and I, we'd make friends and in 3 weeks it'd be gone. I mean, it was unbelievable. But God has a pull in our heart. He had such a pull in our hearts. We were in this big church, wonderful church, tremendous church, fantastic church. Had a teacher who was just great. It was exciting. We were in this for about 3 years and some things happened and we were saying, what are we going to do now? I mean, things are happening. This isn't good. And we were praying one morning, like I say, we just minding our own business and the Lord spoke to us. He says, I want you to come to the promised land. Well, I'm all for that. Yeah, okay. Where are we at? We're right there at the river. You can run right across. I said, okay, let's just jump in. He said, there's only one problem. I knew there was a problem. You know, there's just no way He's going to give you those promises without a problem. He said, when you get across there, you got to start getting your own food. I said, what? You've got to start getting your own food. You've been being fed for a long time. Now you start getting your own daily. You are no longer going to depend on any other man to get your food. You've got to come here and get it from now on. And I said, I'm like, hey, Jesus, is there another way? No, not for you. We went to a revival one time, and the Lord, and I'm ready to go, I'm going. I'm ready. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, this is not my way for you. You can go and have a good time. This is not my way for you. And I went and I tried to do everything to get it. And I didn't get nothing. I said, I'm ready. Come on. You know, I want a free ride. Give me an impartation. Let me get out there. You know, I said, that's not my way for you, boy. Has it ever been that way? You ain't never had a chapter in your life that's ever been that way. There is no free ride for you. And there's no free ride for you either. If you're here, you're here because God called you here. Don't tell me you just happened to fall in here. If you did, He happened to drag you in here. That's how He is. He catches us in our little moments when we're not really paying attention. Zoom! And He's got us. You know, because He loves you so much. He knows you won't do it on your own, so He said, I'll just entice you. I'll show you got a need. You really, really need to get it done, and I'm going to get you, and I'm going to get a whole bunch of your needs. And I'm going to call you, and I'm going to twist you and move you, and I'm going to begin to bring you to myself. Because I want it to be just you and me. Husband and wife, that's wonderful. But in the end, you walk alone. I was thinking about a couple I saw, and she was on fire, and he just was half asleep. Just couldn't. I mean, he was so disinterested, it was scary. I'm thinking, man, what are you doing here? Why are you even here? And I'm thinking, he's here because she's here. You know, he's being an obedient husband. But you can see, he couldn't care less. I mean, nothing at all. I thought, see, but your ears aren't closed. You couldn't care less, but you're still hearing. And man, I'm telling you, that woman you got's a woman of God. And you didn't get together for nothing. I don't care how cool you are. He's got a hook in there. And one of these days, he's going to pop that. Just like a pop that little front pole. And you're going to flip. You're going to flip. And then, she better get ready for a man of God. Because that's one of the problems you have, see. When them godly women get them men finally get godly, they lose their position of leadership. Well, supposedly they lose it. It's a challenge to turn around and give it up. Especially when you've had it because the other person wouldn't do it. And then they come in and been born again 3 weeks and want to tell me about spiritual things. You must be joking. Get out of here. You don't know nothing. You don't even know what translation you want to buy yet. How can you tell me anything? You know? See, God said, but I made him the head. I made him the head. And you've got to come under him. And you've got to make him your spiritual head. Make him! Encourage him. Teach him. Quietly. You know? Guide him quietly. Not, honey, you need to go this way. Quietly. And when he chooses a church you can't stand, you got to go. You know? And just say, Lord, he's in your hand. Please do something with him. But he's in your hand. Yeah. You have to do that, ladies. It's not easy, I'm sure. I've never been there. I've been on the other end. But God, He's calling. He's going to put these families back together. He's got purpose for you. He wants to bring you to Himself. He wants you to begin to pan that gold. Begin just to pan for it. In the mornings, you know, take your time. Don't get nervous. Don't get upset. Don't get cranky. Don't get demanding. You say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. I remember Annie's visions one time. I don't know how many of you know about them anyway. But one time, she said, I tried everything. After 3 hours, I was doing everything I could do. And she said, finally I just got so tired, I just sat down and started talking to Jesus. And there he was. He came. After all that work I'd been doing, everything I knew to get into his presence, and then when I finally got so exhausted, I just said, I'll just talk to him. And he says, and there he was. Sometimes we get so anxious, you know, we're like trying to get to God. God's saying, you know, I'm with you. You just have to get still enough, you know, to where you can hear me. When the salmon gets home, you know, and I think we need to get there, it's more worried about producing than it is about living. And I'm not saying us producing, but God producing, more concerned about what God can do through us than our survival rate or our success rate or whatever rate. You know, what we're really interested in, God, what can you do? There's people out there that need you. Just, they're desperate and don't even know it. And He's going to witness to every nation. They're going to hear. They're going to hear. One way or another, they're going to hear. God said, if you won't do it, I'll find somebody else who will. I don't need degrees. I just, any old bum will do. Anyone that's willing to yield and be obedient and to be faithful. Says, you want to get called? Then get up and go. You want to get chosen? Get up and go. In all of it, just be faithful. Father, Thank you for these people being so attentive, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Though sometimes we feel like our lives are testifying against us, we do love you. We really do love you. Change our hearts. Change our lives, Lord. Come deal with the things that we can't deal with. Teach us how to deal with the things that we can deal with and we're supposed to deal with. We want to be obedient. We want to be yielded. We're not here for no reason. We're not on this earth for no reason. We're not just passing time going through so we can be another person in your kingdom. It isn't all about later. It's all about now. It isn't all about what we can do in eternity. It's what you have for us now. And you have for those, Lord, that are out there that are dependent upon us. And we don't even know who they are. But they're depending upon us because you've chosen to do some things with some people through us. Help us, Lord, to yield to you. Help us to yield to you, Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for this day, for this morning. We thank you for the messages that are going to come forth this afternoon, this evening, Lord. We thank you for the ministry, God. We thank you for each one that's here, Lord, for their attentiveness. We pray that you'll bless the food when we get to it. You'll keep us. Pray for those, Lord, that are still coming. Pray for those, Lord, that need to go. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus, who paid such a price to enable us to have this relationship with you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.